Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is accused of being out of his mind. He's just gone too far this time, and now in his and family is there to sweep in and rescue him, to get this and take in care of, at least as Mark describes it. Jesus, of course, and quickly explains to them that such a thing does not and happen like this. If you're going to accuse him of being, of having Beelzebul or Beelzebub, depending on which gospel account it might be, then he is possessed by Satan. And if he's possessed by Satan, how is Satan going to cast out Satan? If it's going to take the power of Satan to do that in the first place, it doesn't work like that. And certainly when we ourselves ask about what it might be for someone to be possessed, usually it shows up in destructive terms. We think of those in history, and certainly Hitler and Satan come to mind, and we wonder what kind of a power gets them to do such destructive things. Jesus was not in that group. Jesus came to heal and to give life and to cast out the spirits in such a way that health might be restored. However, this has caused me to think about some things that may cause some confusion. It certainly does to me, which may be exactly the point. These things are confusing. And because of that, it may be that you too have been confused about such things. It raises the question of mental illness and all that means. Now, it just might be that I am particularly insensitive to this, as we on the council are considering if it might be possible for Sister Claire to do at least in some of her continuing work in counseling right here. And could we arrange that in such a way that she will be able to provide not just a ministry and service to us and to her clients, but to the wider community as well, and therefore expanding our ministry. I hope it all works. We will see. But it also raises other kinds of questions. If you read the paper or follow along what's going on in local news, you know that Christopher Monfort was recently sentenced. It leads us to those kinds of questions of what causes someone to do such things. And certainly, we can easily make the assumption anyone who's going to take out a gun and shoot someone else for no good reason than just the fact that they might be involved in public safety, or because they happen to go to a movie, we automatically say, and rightfully, they are out of their minds. They're just crazy. There's something going on here. And yet those two words, mental illness, raises all kinds of things, because there's no good way to get a grasp on exactly where these labels end, where the limits are, what defines what is and is not mental illness, and what happens when it's us. And sometimes it's our own and family, or perhaps we are the ones who say, maybe I need to go and see a counselor. That might not be a sign of mental illness, but common sense. Yet these questions are raised. Michelle Anderson and Joseph McEnroe, who were both involved in the slaying of Michelle's own family, six people on Christmas Eve, And yet they found each other. The fact that these were the people who came to bond together, you wonder what in the world is going on. To simply say, well, they're mentally ill, leads to all kinds of other things. And some of the court psychologists that get brought into these things will say things, well, yes, they're mentally ill, but they're still sane. Well, that's a big help. These are things that are difficult. It appears that James Holmes made a number of calls to various doctors, hoping that someone would stop him before he went to that theater in Colorado. And we wonder. I don't know if we have a good explanation for what is and isn't mental illness. The things that we are learning about the mind and the brain are fascinating. They are indeed things that we just sit back and wonder at the whole thing. The things that we think about without giving it a thought, that our mental processes continue to go on even without on automatic, as it were. We don't have to think about thinking. It happens. Although I have to tell you, I'm a little concerned about myself. It seems that I happen to be coming one of those senior citizens driving around Seattle with your turn signal on. It's happened more than once, and I'm beginning to wonder, is it just that they're not making these things as loud? Do I have the radio turned up too loud to hear the thing? Am I going crazy? Well, I have to tell you, there have indeed been times. I thought that I was perfectly sane and in control of myself. I had been through high school and the Air Force and LBI and all of that stuff. I then get to seminary and I'm doing fine. I have my life all planned out. And then a young woman walks into the room. I went crazy. It was just unexplainable. What happened to me? I can't explain this, but it happened. Suddenly, she opened her mouth and spoke, and I thought, oh my goodness, who is this person? I need to find out more. Well, I have to tell you, after in 32 years, I'm still trying to figure it all out. I'm not so sure I know yet, but I'm still crazy, and I'm not the only one. Willie Nelson, of course, who wrote the song, and Patsy Cline sang it for millions of dollars. Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you, crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. Well, the good news is I'm still crazy, and I'm loving it. But it's a form of mental illness. My hormones get out of whack, and suddenly she's the only thing I could think about. I kept on saying, concentrate on school, concentrate on school, but it was tough. And fortunately, I did not have to go through a long courtship. We just got that over and full speed ahead. But we're still crazy. It happens. You know, there's some good news out there. This is leading into a topic that is a topic in its own. I came across an article from a psychologist who said women are supposed to be moody. That's the way it's supposed to be. You're created that way. But we, of course, in our society think we can fix this with a pill. If you're, you know, and feeling a little anxious about in something or a little weepy, we'll just up the medication a little bit, and that'll fix everything. when this particular doctor is saying maybe that's the way God intended it. If God didn't, you wouldn't be like that. Well, you know, the whole question of what does it mean to be normal is beyond us. Where are those limits? I'm still and doing things that are very irrational. I'm watching a football game and yelling. I am yelling at the screen at Marshawn Lynch, saying, run, run. And guess what? He's 1,000 miles away. He's not going to hear me, and yet I'm still yelling at that screen like this makes sense. It doesn't. And yet we do it. I suspect there might have been a few of you who were yesterday yelling at a horse. A horse who doesn't even understand English, but might have understood the word run. I don't know. It could be. In all of his training, these are things that we wonder about. And what does it mean if we're outside the normal bonds of what works and what doesn't? In the movie Awakenings, and one of the most disturbing scenes in that, in summer, I think it was in 1968, when suddenly those who had been closed off in an institution for years and seemed to be unable to connect with the world around them. This, an elderly woman who remembers and singing a song as a young girl, sings the song again. And at one point, they ask her, and what year is it? And she says, oh, it's 1927 or whatever the year might be. Later on, she says, I know it's not 1927, but I can't bear to think about the fact that I've lost in time. Is she crazy? Perhaps. We don't know. Sometimes the crazy ones among us are the smart ones. Michael Faraday, Albert Einstein. We all wondered about, many people had wondered about them, and yet they did amazing and wonderful things far beyond their colleagues in science. We still see and people out on the street. We wonder about them. What in the world is going on? There's one particular guy, if I get over to the U, I take the 5 and 20 way off of I-5, get off on Montlake, and there he is at the end of the off-ramp there, carrying his sign along, looking for a handout, and talking to himself the entire time. And I wonder, is that his life? Is that a part of an act? These are things I don't know. You know, Lennon and McCartney ventured into this. And they wrote a song, "The Fool on the Hill Sees the Sun Going Down, and the eyes in his head see the world and spinning round." Maybe it's the ones who are crazy who get things the clearest. We don't know. When they looked at Jesus, they thought he was nuts. He's out of his mind. Well, so are we. We belong to a tradition of those who have done an interesting and amazing things that many people thought were just nuts. Jonah at one point asked to be thrown off the boat. Just get this over with. I want to die. I'd rather die than go to Nineveh. There were other men prophets who also did things that caused people to wonder what they were thinking, and yet they did. There were an early church and fathers who wandered off into the desert to live alone. And yet from their writings comes a very rich tradition of presence with God. Saint Francis himself could have grown up as a spoiled rich kid, but instead, finding God, he turns his back on all of that and goes off to serve. Some, I would imagine, are wondering if Pope Francis at times is also a little off his rocker. I don't know. If such is true, we are in good company, for we are ones who gather in this place week after week to offer up prayers to an invisible God that we've never seen. The visible God that we claim hasn't been around for 2,000 years, and yet we still pray. We spend a lot of time and effort getting up and going to work, doing things, collecting a paycheck, and then we turn around and just give it away. We are ones who, when at times are confronted by some injustice against us, and it would be, certainly within our right to hold the guilty in some way until we get paid back, are asked to forgive instead. I have to say, this sounds crazy. And yet, Jesus says, "Who are the ones who are my brothers and sisters? The ones who do the will of God." It may be really crazy to the world around us. We're not the first ones to notice this from Isaiah. We hear, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, says the Lord." From Paul, we hear that the foolishness of God is way smarter than the wisdom of the world. Well, here we see it, that to follow God may indeed cause us to do strange things, that the rest of the world will just sit back and say, "Why do they do that?" We do it because we hear voices. We're hearing things. Sometimes even to suggest that we hear God speak to us would be instantly a sign to haul that person off to the loony bin and get them straightened out. Well, we're supposed to. God speaks to us. Are we going to now say, "Well, we don't know what God says"? God is very clear at times. We know what we need to do. And while we may not hear God's voice in terms of sound waves that come into our ear and then is processed, God doesn't need that. Straight into our hearts and minds, where God speaks in loving ways and calls us to follow Christ. So call me crazy, that's fine, because God has something better. To follow Christ, to become the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ himself, as we follow the will of God as best we can. Amen.